that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yuck Mala! Yuck Mala! Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, one quarter of the Gang of Four in this case, and we're happy to be talking about Season 13, which is Days of Future Past. And, you know, of course, you talk about the Gang of Four. Well, the other members of the Gang of Four, we've got Jack Hall.
Me first? Sup, babies. How's it going?
It's going great. Great. And how about you, James? James Cotta.
For this episode, I'd like you to refer to me as James O, the story of James.
The story of James. Okay. And now we have Nick Boxer.
You're all my prison bitches.
How about if I give you a flute? Would that turn things around?
How the hell did he get that food in there?
How did he? Well, we'll get there.
Yes.
We'll get there.
So the movie that we are talking about is Ricky O, the story of Ricky, and of course the Days of Future Past concept is James, and so James, explain that, and then I'm gonna really enjoy what comes next.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Been looking forward to that. Days of Future Past is there's a long history of telling stories that take place in the future. Some of them predictive, some of them just dystopic. This one is, basically came true. Tells the story of takes place in the year 2001, so 10 years from its release date, 1991. And the other part of the season is that it has to be a date that has passed. That's the future past part.
And 2001 has passed, so we've nailed that.
If you're keeping track at home.
Yes. All right. So, Nick, please tell us the story of Ricky.
Now, is there a reason this takes place in the movie? There was privatized prisons when this came out.
Maybe not in Hong Kong.
Maybe not in, yeah. Okay. The story of Ricky, summarized. Well, Ricky is a badass. He gets sent to prison. He comes up against the warden for some reason. It isn't – or assistant warden. It isn't completely explained. Ricky solves all his problems, it seems, by punching the heads off of his opponent. I don't understand why that happens, but it does. This is a gore film. It is fun. Ricky's in prison. He has to fight different things the warden sets up for him. That's a story. We also get a couple flashbacks of what led him to prison, as well as how he became such a martial arts badass. Spoiler alert, he learned Kung Fu in what appeared to be one night.
No, he knew Kung Fu, but he learned how to be the tough guy that he is and use his superhuman strength properly in one night.
Yeah, there's what's it called? Qijong type of Kung Fu. He learned a specific style.
Mostly by inflicting property damage on a graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a deep, complex story, this movie is not for you.
No, no. I mean, this is based on a Japanese manga, so I looked up the manga online. So, I mean, basically, this is I don't know how many issues of the manga. Like, normally, like if you look at like, most superhero stories, like it'll be like 3 issues if they've adapted it into a movie. You know, this will be like 3 issues or something like that, or condensed.
I was going with 5 pages.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but this one, it's for instance, the first scene where the guy in the shower fights him, like that's the entire first comic. Like, it's nice. The lead up from the beginning to, and it's pretty faithful. It's the lead up from the beginning of him entering the prison to where the guy attacks him in the shower scene. That's the entire first comic. And in this, I think that's like the first 6 minutes, like, or 8 minutes or something like that. Like, it's right away, right? So it's just, the reason it makes no sense is because they're just taking the basic stories of what happened in a 24-page comic and condensing it into tiny little chunks and just constantly throwing them together and leaving out all the other stuff that would build a story or characterization or anything. So it's just, it keeps it moving though. Like,
it but moves.
This film, oh yeah, this is not at all about the story. This film is, it's about the style. I think, you know, the style and the gore. That's what this film is famous for.
No, I mean, this was my pick. I had never seen it. It's always been on the list because I love martial arts films. I love gore films. And I was sort of unimpressed by the martial arts and there's the story because it is nothing but gore.
The martial arts is not particularly good in this film.
No,
it's fun.
No.
You know, like it's not, you know, I'm for a Golden Harvest film. I mean, we're used to seeing like some great martial arts and this is not nowhere near it on that scale.
But I was impressed by the guy who did the good kung fu. And the guy that did the better kung fu, and then the warden, the assistant warden who had the best kung fu, and then the warden whose kung fu had to be better than everyone else's.
Yeah,
I thought that, like they told me it was good over and over, so it must have been.
That's true. As long as you say it. But yeah, I mean, it's like, is it it's up there for oddest movies we've ever seen, but the reason why is because it's the source material, and then it's just condensed into a movie. There's also like. There's an anime online that's almost the exact same thing. I think it's called Rikkyo and the Walls of Hell, and that's like the first part of the movie. And then there's a second one. You can find that on YouTube. It's like it's a nice quality. I watched that too, and it's like very similar, but it's somehow even though it's crazy bloody, nowhere near as bloody as this movie. and it's full of gore, but it's not. Even really good special effects is the funny part. Like, it's just full of it. People love it for that reason. But this isn't exactly the work of Tom Savini.
No, there's a subsection, of course, of the martial arts movies that involve a lot of gore. And like, I'll butcher his name, but like, I honestly went into this thinking that this was Takashi Meek or Mike.
Mike.
Yeah. And so I went into it thinking that it was him. And so I was actually thinking of Ishii the Killer. So like I probably haven't seen this movie and I guess I was confused going in. So that's fine. But I like that subsection. Is this one a great.
You thought you had seen this because you'd seen Ishii the Killer.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
And so
I also thought it was Takashi Mike, though, by the way.
Yeah. And so there's that whole thing where it's just like, so I'm not actually sure that I've seen this movie. And I was thinking like, oh, why are we choosing Rikkyo? This movie's just really good. And any craziness that comes of it is just largely because of it being in the anime and stuff like that. And so in the manga, and it's just like, well, wait, I mean, even though it is, the way this movie portrays the crazy, it's still fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, this film is absolutely a good Boogaloo choice. Like, as far as, like, it meets the criteria. Now, of course, I'd like to know, what did you guys learn from this film?
I learned the most efficient way to kill somebody is to rip out your own intestine. to strangle somebody, that because you know that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
For and no apparent reason.
And by the way, that guy's intestines, massive. I mean, those things, that was huge. If you're going to strangle somebody, those are the intestines you want to use.
I learned something very, very important in this. I learned that a movie like this has to be watched dubbed with subtitles on because that was seriously the most Boogaloo thing I could have humanly imagined is seeing the subtitles of what they were actually saying versus what they actually did say in the dubbed version.
Oh, the dubbing English is terrible. Dub is one of the worst I have ever seen.
I turned the subtitles off, so I missed that. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch this and get a
greatest,
whole other experience.
Greatest thing. Like when you have the subtitles on, because the names are all entirely different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so
I figured Oscar wasn't the guy's real name.
It's high.
I did have the subtitles on for parts when I couldn't understand what the dialogue was, even in the dub version. And I had to shut it off, though, because it was like watching two different movies at the same time.
It is.
Just like reading the book and watching the movie like concurrently. It was there was one line where the assistant warden says, you keep fucking with me or something like that. And the subtitle was, creep, you're really vexing me.
Yes. there's some parts which I am saving for the what the fuck moments, but like honestly, like the what the fucks on just on the combination of the two alone. But you're absolutely right. When you're watching it and reading it, and it's so different, it's really like watching this movie became a challenge because you're trying to digest so much of it in these two forms. I mean, it's amazing. Like, it's a hell of an experience, but I wouldn't want to do that again.
So here's an interesting, great piece of trivia for you guys that you would never guess. So the lead character, Ricky O, he's 18 at the time, the actor. He's 18 at the time he did the roles. He's still around. He was nominated for awards for Ip Man. He was in Ip Man 1 and 2 and Dragon Gate. Like, he's in his mid-40s now, right? Like his career's great. But so that Fang Su Wong, so his real-life father has a role in the film. Can you guess what role his real-life father had?
He's not the warden, is he?
The assistant warden.
The assistant warden?
He's the assistant warden.
Nice.
That guy's a Shaw Studios regular, but, I mean, a big, fat dude. And then you got Riccio, the new character, who's like this the most athletic-looking guy.
Is the chiseled out of granite, yeah.
Yeah, and you would never guess that the actor that's his father is the assistant warden in this film. By the way, I would like to say also I'm sure, again, this is coming up in the WTFs, but I thought an excellent performance by the warden's son.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I presume was the first film role for what's his name there from South Korea, the leader. What's his name? Young Won. What's his name there?
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong 14.
Kim Jong-un, yeah. Yeah. I presume this is Kim Jong-un's first acting role.
I learned that prison is surprisingly clean.
I learned that in Hong Kong, apparently in the future, prisoners have free run.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you just really, like, you just wander around. Ricky goes for a walk at night at one point, into the courtyard.
Apparently, you're in your cell. You're supposed to be in there, but they're not locked, apparently. You just do whatever you want.
He's put in solitary, and they just put him back in the same cell he was in earlier. So, yeah.
He just doesn't get food.
Overall, I mean, unless you piss off the guys the four guys that run the prison, just keep to yourself, seems fine.
Okay, so the one huge guy in the dub version, his name is Tarzan. What was it in the subtitles?
In the subtitles, his name is Tizan. So it's not crazy. There is another one that is absolutely batshit insane, which I love my favorite part of this movie for sure.
All right.
I don't know. I got nothing left.
The thing is, if we get into any more, we're ruining what we're going to get to in the scoring, which means it's time to go to scoring.
Time to go to scoring. In our search for the ultimate B-movie, which is what we're all on about, we rate each film in five categories. None of these categories is objective quality. The first one is called Schlock Appeal, and Stan, you're up.
It's a schlock monster, I'll say. Like, there's a lot to this movie, especially, like, just trying to watch it, and I think you could even turn the sound off and it would still be hella schlocky. I'm gonna go with an 8.
I'm going with 9. This is not beginner schlock. If a civilian was to happen upon this movie, I think it would be a fatal blow.
So since Turner Classic Movies has shown this, I bet civilians have accidentally stumbled on this and had that experience. I'm gonna give it an 8. It's very schlocky, you know, but it's a little, I mean, that's also kind of the style of the Hong Kong martial arts film. There's a certain schlock to them anyways. But it's strong. So that's the trouble with when you're doing a foreign film of this nature, is are you judging it by what it is to you, or are you judging it by what it is to them? So I'm not sure how schlocky it is to them, but to me, it absolutely, there's a ton of schlock, and I'm only giving it an 8. I'd give it higher if I enjoyed it more. I just only mildly enjoyed the film. So yeah, I mean, 8 is a really good score for this.
I think this movie is basically like a kung fu bad taste. I think it has almost all the elements I look for, so I'm going to give it an almost full score, 9 for me. More heart than budget, and we have no idea what the budget was.
No, but it's a Golden Harvest film, right? And Golden Harvest, that's the biggest, most powerful studio in the history of Hong Kong cinema. So it's by their nature, their films are obviously lower budget than what we see in Hollywood films significantly. But as far as a Hong Kong film, it's probably a medium level budget, medium to high, I would guess.
But see, that's the interesting thing, right? Because you look at this and you think about the fact that 90% of it takes place in a prison. So, I mean, the sets are already pretty much existing. And then we talked earlier about the concept of how a lot of the special effects just weren't that good. I mean, there's tons of times when you can see the wires and you can see all these things that didn't get removed and are like silly ways of doing things. And, you know, Lord knows the end, but so I don't know that I can go really high. I mean, I think that the performances were good and over the top and stuff, but it's just a 5.
Yeah, they knew what they were making and nobody cared. That this is what you get when you don't have any rehearsals and, you know, don't tell your actors exactly what's going on.
Can I give you guys a piece of trivia that may actually affect this?
Sure.
Before, just in case. There's a scene where the girl who plays Ricky O's his lover or whatever, where she's in front of fire, and they were worried Ricky O, they're both standing in front of fire. Ricky O, the guy, the character actor, he was doused in water because of the flames and how hot it was. And apparently during the scene, he noticed that her, as he's giving a speech, her neck started smoking. She was getting actual real burns, but didn't stop the scene because he hadn't finished his lines yet. And he commended her professionalism. So there, I don't know if that affects any of your scores, but I thought that was worth throwing out there in this.
You know what?
They cared enough to go through burns.
I would increase my score if she had an actual role in this film. She really doesn't matter. She is the
professional.
She's the epitome of the Chinese stereotype is women don't matter in films. Yeah, she does not matter in this film. It would, you could take her out and it would not matter in the least. So
they have used women as in strong roles as like leader since Come Drink With Me, you know, and Michelle Yeoh.
Sorry. There is a tradition of women being ignored. There is the opposite as well, but it's the exception, not the rule.
Okay. All right. That's a whole other debate we better not get into.
So,
please, what was your... Three? Oh, my God. Oh. Well, you know what? I mean, I have it higher. Like I say, it's you know, I presume it's a Golden Harvest film, but... Yes, the effects weren't good, but damn it, they threw so much in there. So, I mean, sure, the end part with the warden when he becomes that creature and you're looking at it and you're thinking, my first thought was literally I'm watching it, looking at him going, you know, maybe that shark that ate Quint wasn't looking so bad after all.
So I couldn't tell. Were they reusing footage from the Incredible Hulk when he was hulking out? Because I thought it could have been just color recorrection to get his shirt ripping and stuff.
But when it goes in the meat grinder, which of course would be a meat grinder of that type. Of course, it's in a prison. I mean, whatever they eat in a prison, they just put in this prison for the scene. They put so much blood again on the character, the actor fan who played Ricky O, that there's so much fake blood. It took him 3 days to wash it off. That's great. So I got a 6.
I'm surprised that you guys are so hard on the effects. I thought, like, especially the face removal shots were really cool. There was a couple of like, half that guy's face just got torn off. That's. I mean, they don't leave it on screen very long because it probably wouldn't hold up to it didn't hold up to you guys pausing on it, I guess. Like, I mean, most of those are like 4 frames long, but you're not that one, still not enough.
Where he punches the top of his head and it splits it in half instead of taking the whole head off.
No, are you talking about the knife that slits across his face, which is an awesome thing?
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like, there is a lot of, like, those kind of things I think are great. There's some that are really awful. It's just
one where it's split in half and it rolls on the floor. They did bother to put a real pig's brain in to that shot.
A guy that gets his nose taken off by a wood planer.
That's
cool. So 7 for me on this. What the fuck moments?
There's a few in here.
You could say that.
So, you know, oh boy, oh boy. So right off the bat, I mean, you've got the gang coming in to talk to the old guy or to you know, be a jerk to the old guy for no reason whatsoever in the movie. I love the fact that, like, there's so many things that just magically pop up. So the old guy has a little wooden train. And they, in both, I think they call it a car, which is just like, what? But, the one guy gets tripped and there's a spiked piece of wood that is just on the floor in the bathroom for no reason
like a board
whatsoever.
With nails in it, yeah.
And it's just like, or of course then the magical wood planer that shows up to take the guy's nose off, where it's just like apparently in his loose fitting prison garb.
Don't forget to mention the guy lands straight forward into that nail, which was about an inch and a half.
Oh, and
it was right through his eye.
Yes.
And he survives.
So
he survives. That doesn't kill him.
So then afterwards, they decide to call out the big guns, and they call in Zorro. And Zorro, of course, is a big, fat sumo wrestler-looking guy. Now, here is my favorite part, because in the subtitles, Zorro's name is Silly Lung.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, what? Who the hell is what? Like, I thought that was fantastic. Later on in the movie, when he talks about playing the flute, in the subtitles, it's just like, it says, I played the trumpet in school. And I'm like, on screen, that's a fucking flute. There's no, like, no point. one of my favorite parts as well is the assistant warden with the fake eye when he pops it out and shakes out some mints from his fake eye. And then that becomes a running gag.
He does that throughout the movie.
Yes. I couldn't figure out what he had, because at one point he drops them too.
Yep.
The eye. Is it mints?
It is mints, yes. Yes.
I assumed it was like some sort of, because I mean the whole point of this movie is Riccio's sticking around, as he could probably escape whenever he wanted to. They stick around because they figure something's weird, and it turns out they're growing opium. And so I figured that some sort of opium thing, but you're saying it's a real mint.
It's just mints, yeah, because at some point he offers somebody, would you like some mints? And I think maybe that might have been in the subtitles.
He also has a line later in the film that he said, those are some bad mints.
Yes, that's right. Of course, the pulling your guts out to choke someone is fantastic. I love the fact that Ricky is the toughest man alive, but also, you know, subtle enough to blow leaves and create a whistle. I mean, that whole moment, you know, with the flute and giving it to the guy, and that scene is just so out of place in the movie. I love when the warden's coming back and everybody is just asleep because the warden is taking so long to get back. It was just so weird. The warden's kid, of course, is just completely unnecessary, but damn, what an addition, because it's so incredibly strange. The warden has a heart attack at one point, and they ply him with...
No, those are pills to keep him from hulking out to that character.
Oh, okay.
It's not a heart attack. Those pills are to keep him from becoming that Hulk character.
Oh, well, that's cool to know. That wasn't explained in either.
I don't know how you got that from this movie.
I did not get that from this movie. No, you would have gotten that from... I got that from the trivia.
I figured that was from outside, yeah.
I like the fact that they look like candy. Then I love the fact that he's in the cell that has the compactor, because, you know, every prison has one of those. And meanwhile, Tarzan has busted through the wall, but he is trying to push the compactor up, and we know that he can. But meanwhile, I'm just looking off to the side, and I'm thinking, you know, there's a hole in the wall. You could actually just escape like that.
Oh, man.
The Gang of Four, at one point, the feminine looking one, like, completely kicks a dog in half.
That was pretty cool, yeah.
That was cool. I mean, it looks great. I mean, the razor blade sandwich that he got at one point, really cool, like the way that that worked. The warden's elephant gun, which caused people to blow up and explode. Loved that. That was great.
Yeah, it shot some guy in the ass.
Yeah.
Exploded.
But when the assistant warden gets shot by that and just completely puffs up like and explodes, amazing stuff. I mean, honestly, once...
And you won't use it on Riccio, because Riccio's not afraid of bullets.
No, because he's got five bullets. He's got five bullets already in him, so bullets obviously don't affect him. Of course, the warden at the end in the Hulk up, and I can let other people talk about that, but I think for me the biggest question that I have is, okay, so Ricky O has this real problem with drugs, because that was basically what led to his girlfriend committing suicide, was because she saw people doing drugs.
She was just clumsy. She just ran off the top of the roof, and then an obvious dummy splat.
Yeah, but no, but
yeah, I wrote
she,
that
she
yeah.
killed herself so she wasn't going to be raped by the fat guy.
I wrote down she tripped off the top of a building, which is one of the most common causes of death.
Yeah, exactly. And she just tripped.
I agree with Nick.
But here's the thing. I did learn this about the movie. I mean, you have to keep in mind, opium, or poppies create opium, and opium is a gateway drug to harder drugs, and harder drugs lead to premarital sex. So you got to be careful.
It's true. But so my question is, so Ricky... I think he went to prison because of maybe this, because he doesn't like the opium. And that's one of the reasons that he stayed in prison, was because, like, he had to get rid of the opium. He had to clear that out of the prison. So then afterwards, when he punches through the wall and the rest of the prisoners, and he's just like, you're all free now. And I'm like, okay, so you have a problem with opium, but you don't have a problem with letting go of all of the prisoners who, Lord knows why they were in prison in the first place. One would expect that it wasn't.
Some of them must have been.
Apparently, all of them. I wrote that down. Like, you know, but, like a goodly chunk of these guys are guilty of something. Like, yes.
Like, this isn't, theoretically, isn't the prison with a heart of gold. So, you know, even though they like
Ricky.
But
in fairness, none of them follow him anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
He puts up and holds them while he struts away, and he's like, you're all free. And they're all like, that's cool.
But why do they have to? Yeah, they can just hang out. Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Oh, okay. Well, you know, no, I'm going to jump in now here with it. There's a point in the movie where all of a sudden all these guns pop out of the wall, and they just start shooting everything in the courtyard. Even if you're free to get to that hole, theoretically they could have just blown everybody away, including Riccio, at any point in time, because he runs from all those massive bullets too. It's almost like this movie doesn't have any logic.
Uh-huh. And so it's due to that lack of logic that I will happily give this movie, I'm gonna give it a 10 for fun.
Oh, that was a WTF score.
Yes, that's what we're doing, WTFs.
Oh, no.
I thought we were still discussing the plot.
Well, because the plot is filled with WTFs.
Yeah, no, I have to say, you explained a lot of Riccio's motivations that I have to say I did not get at all. I really thought the whole opium thing was just there. I didn't get the sense that Riccio cared whatsoever. You mentioned a lot of WTFs there. I only got two more that I really want to discuss. Number one, you mentioned the effeminate gang member of the Gang of Four. I spent a majority of this movie actually trying to figure out if that was a female playing the role or not, and I have been completely unsuccessful. I don't know what they were going for. I don't know if they were, like, if it was some sort of gay stereotype or if what was the thought behind it. I have no idea. Sorry, I got two more after this. The montage that included Riccio flying the remote control airplanes with his girlfriend. At one point in this montage, they forget about the planes completely and put down the controls. They are in the air. Those things are not easy to fly. Would have crashed immediately. Yet they seem to just sort of jostle back and forth the controls and didn't make any sense. And lastly, in the last big climatic scene, they need a way to get a couple of the prisoners out of the kitchen. They jump into these little boxes on the side of the wall for no apparent reason and close the door, and they're gone from the scene. Does anyone know what were those dumbwaiters or?
That's kind of my guess. Dumbwaiters,
yeah. They have buttons on the side like an elevator.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. Hey, kid, it would be exciting if you push this button.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit strange to, you know, not introduced into the movie in some way, yet have it featured in such a big role.
Did you watch this movie then? This movie did was introduce things.
The opium thing was the only thing they hammered into your head like multiple times. And
no, it was there. I just didn't think Ricky even really gave too much of a damn about it.
That's the only thing that hammered into your head is that he cared. He set it on fire. He kept on going, it's opium, you're doing opium. He multiple scenes where he was doing that.
Yeah. Oh, and I also found it really very entertaining that the assistant warden's office had VHS copies of porn plastered all over the wall instead of like library books like you'd expect.
That's true.
In a warden's office.
And it takes forever to find a TV in the room. Like, there is a bank of TVs on a wall, but there's next to no shots that actually show it. So for the longest time, I was thinking, so he's got a bunch of VHS porn, but he's got no way to watch it. What the hell?
Sometimes
and he feels the need to display his porn collection.
Well, it is a prison. Well,
if you're a collector, though, I mean, you want to display that. You want to show that off. It's quite an impressive collection.
Oh, yeah.
and you know, if they're from... Yeah, anyway, no, I won't go there.
But on a whole, you can pick any given scene in this movie, and there is stuff that just does not make sense that you could spend years thinking about. So, yeah, 9.
Yeah, there literally is a WTF in every scene, isn't there? I mean, jeez.
Sometimes the WTFs are actually WTF on top of a WTF, which I wasn't sure that we could find, but they managed
it. They managed to do it. Yeah, no, it's damned impressive. That actress who played Huang Chong, that is a female, by the way, is Yukari Oshima.
Was she meant to be a female in the movie?
No, she played a male. Okay. She played a male, but that she is a that is a female actress. Man, I don't think you know. The thing is, we've talked about so many of these already because they're just like, okay, so this, I don't know where to go with this. There's so damn many. You can't, the intestines, you have to see the intestine strangling to understand it. And the best part is though, is he cuts himself and Ricky O then goes, no, don't kill yourself because he's committing, you know, suicide because he's losing the fight. And then he goes, no, it's to, you know, you'll die too. And he rips out the his intestines and he wraps it around Ricky O's throat. And the assistant warden, he says to him, oh, Oscar, you got a lot of guts. That.
You know, I chalked that one up just to a weird translation. Like, I don't know if that's actually in the real movie.
That was a clear joke. Like, I thought that was but it was just such a WTF thing. Like, it's just this whole movie. Like, there's this scene. Okay, so like I say, we talked about the guy landing, with his face his eye in the spike thing. But that's because he was beating up some old guy him and his thugs were beating up some old guy, who's about to go on parole, but who can't get parole unless this guy says so, because he's one of the major, he's not one of the top four, but he's a major influence in the prison, even though he's a prisoner. So he can influence whether or not this man who's essentially innocent and just wants to get out and see his kid. And so he has this little toy he's made for his kid. Of course, the man's like 65, which makes you wonder how old his kid is. But he's made this toy for this kid, and this gang beats him up, smashes this toy over his head. So Riccio trips the guy on as he's the gang that beats him up as he's leaving, and that's when he gets his face cut in there. Then they kill this guy. They blame him for this, and they kill him. And they say it's a suicide, that he hangs himself, this old man. Now Riccio's really upset. So as he's leaving, and he's outside in the rain, and they're carrying him out in the rain, he's still got his handcuffs on for some reason, and Riccio then takes out the exact same toy that was smashed in a few minutes ago. Riccio, by the way, has been in the prison at this point for about 12 hours. he takes this toy and puts it in with this man that he's apparently remade, this man, and he's super upset that this guy's been obviously killed. And again, he's been in there for 12 hours. He doesn't even know this guy. He couldn't have even had a conversation with him. And his reaction to this is to stand in the rain and do martial arts really shitty. That's his reaction he just starts jumping up and doing kicks that no martial artists will actually do and throwing his hands out. And he looks completely uncoordinated, and it goes on and on.
And I call that angry rain kata. The angry
rain kata. I don't know what's going on. And that's just this movie in a nutshell. 9.
9, you say. All right. I got to say, like, we've mentioned a bunch of them over the episode here, but the amount of things that just randomly appear in this prison, including a giant razor sword, like a serrated sword that one guy just has. There's crap all over the place. Like, just periodically, stuff comes out of nowhere.
We go back to that razor sword because one of the prisoners like after Riccio kills the guy that kills the old man, because it ties in here, one of the other prisoners that's part of the thugs that killed the old man, the other prisoners want revenge on him, and they're all threatening him, but one prisoner is going to kill him, you know, and so he takes out that big knife. And then the actual leader of the Gang of the Four, the North Wing, takes in and stops him because you can't have the death. So then the guy questions his leadership. So then the leader kills him because even though you can't have death, he questioned him, and he has the knife. Then this leader goes to the warden's office, where the warden gives him a knife and goes, "I give you permission to use this." And I'm going, but apparently it's not hard to get knives. He just had a knife that was much bigger and deadlier than that one walking around with that some other prisoner got. So what's the big deal about you giving him a knife?
But in fairness to the death thing, the only person who's allowed to mete out vengeance in this is a member of the Gang of Four for each one. That's it.
Yeah. But apparently, I'm more convinced, why is getting a knife from the warden such a big deal when he just had a much bigger, more deadly knife and that anybody could get? So one other quick question before – I'm sorry, Jim, so get back to you. But what was the name again of the big fat guy that was bribed to kill Ricky because he's hungry with rice?
Silly Lung.
And in the American, he was called
– Zorro.
Okay, in the mango, he's called Bando. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Perfect. Nothing at all alike. That's fantastic. Love it.
I can't believe no one mentioned the plethora of weird cells they put him in at this point. Because, there's a cell that fills with concrete. There's
cells that do that? For what reason?
Well, and the worst part is because the warden has already said that prisoners are great because you treat them well, you feed them well, and they're a great cheap source of labor. But meanwhile, apparently if you step out of line, then you get stuck in the trash compactor cell or the concrete cell. Like it's so very weird.
All right, I'm sorry, James. We're stepping all over your moment.
Did you give a score there?
I don't.
Nick almost gave me one. Not to belabor this.
It's hard not to.
So Ricky has it out with one of the big bad guys and kills him. And then this guy has a nephew named Alan. And then there's a bit of a challenge of who's gonna have control of Alan, who's gonna be like overseeing Alan. Ricky teaches him how to do the like whistle onto a leaf thing. So he and Alan become buddies. The other three leaders bring Alan in, and they're like, "You've got to go kill Ricky." And this guy does not have the equipment to go kill Ricky at all. He's like the Poindexter of this film. And they're like, "Well, we've got his knife. We got that fancy knife that you were talking about. And he's like, no, Ricky's a really good guy. And then and then they're like, "You better show him." And one of the guys stands up and pulls down a white sheet. And behind it is the skinned body of his uncle and the tattoos of his uncle nailed to the wall, all bloody. Just the whole back tattoo. And they're like, "Ricky did this."
And he knew he didn't.
Which is weird enough. But they didn't know Alan was going to say no, which means they set this up in case he said no. They had that anyway. Something they did later. They were prepared for this eventuality by skinning this guy.
But Alan watched.
I like that they skinned him. And I like that they skinned him. Then the guys find him and they say, "He's still alive." And then the very next scene has Ricky going, "He's dead now," and getting revenge. So just stuff happens.
Yeah, and then he again says no, and then they skin Alan. So that's they were already warmed up on the skinning. Nine for but once pretty you skin cool one guy, you're like, "Yeah, I'm already set up. I've got the equipment here."
I'm a pro.
Pretty cool how they skinned the tattoo on the back, which was in the manga. That was nicely recreated.
It was lovely. He's like, "Yeah, Ricky did that. That's you should be for yours." All right, so 9 for me as well. If there's any moments left, memorable moments.
You know, for me, the memorable moments are the great effects. Like you know, when they take the knife and split the bottom half of the guy's face, and you do just see the teeth. I absolutely love it when Ricky is punching Tarzan, and he punches through his jaw. And of course, Tarzan later on talks through a punch through jaw. Don't know how that happens, but. And then it's so amazing because, you know, he punches his fist and Tarzan's fist just completely explodes. And so, I mean, all of those things are really memorable. And I really like the look of those. I also love the fact that in both versions, his name is Ricky Ho. But for whatever reason, the movie is Ricky O. So... not sure how that one works, but for me, now that I know that I've seen this, especially, you know, the whole Gang of Four and all that, I'm going to give it a 7 because I think I'm going to remember it.
Yeah, for the amount of quality special gore things, you'd think it would be more memorable. But on a whole... nothing has any consequence. It's just gore. I don't know if I think back on any particular well done scene. I'm going to associate it with this movie later on, because that's all this movie is. I don't think I can go higher than a 6.
Ooh. I'm definitely higher than a 6. I got an 8 on this. These type of gore films, I tend to remember the gore very well. I don't know. It's like you know, Lone Wolf and Cub. You know, I saw it 25 years ago, and I totally remember the scenes of gore because they're just so wacky and out of there. And this film has that, and I just will not forget. I will not ever forget so many of these gore scenes, especially the dude going, I think, in the meat grinder and the intestine stuff. This film's stuck in my memory. I think they did a good job. And the anime pop culture stuff. The part where there's one part where Tarzan just comes up and he just like squeezes some guy's head and it just explodes. Mm-hmm. Like, phew. And that was used for years by Greg Kilborne on his TV show. So it's caught some cross or pop culture crossover. So I'm going to give it an 8.
I think that, I think it's gonna stick with me. I mean, it is that challenge of is it the what the fucks that will stick with me or the movie itself. But I love the bits where, like there's one point where he does an uppercut and just takes the guy's jaw completely off. That was great. I didn't expect the gore part of it. I wasn't anticipating that. So about 10 minutes in, when he punches directly through the guy, puts his arm completely through the guy, just came out of nowhere for me.
You didn't know the movie's reputation.
No, not at all. Oh, no, I didn't know anything about the movie.
Oh, wow.
Stan and I had this great exchange where he thought that this film was Ichi the Killer. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw Ichi the Killer like 20 years ago. Or 30 years ago. And then I realized, like, I'm thinking of Tetsuo the Iron Man. So I haven't seen Ichi the Killer either. I haven't seen either one of these movies. So it's, I'm probably going to remember this as Ichi the Killer, though. Now that I say that. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. Crazy concept.
This one's a hard one for me because it's very crazy. I mean, but there's a lot of crazy things that happen, but I mean, that's from a manga, you know, like all of that stuff actually existed in a book and they're just transposing that into a movie. And so I think that that's not all that crazy. I mean, when they do a lot of this kind of thing when they make these movies. So I'm really only going to give it a 4.
This is tough. You kind of want to go high, yet at the same time, gore is the genre of Hong Kong film. And it is based off a manga, which, I mean, a lot of that stuff was already there. And it's from what I understand, it's a fairly loyal adaptation if just only as a best of reel. Yeah, I want to go high, but I can't. I'll go with a 5, though.
I'm going much higher. I think this is just absolutely insane. Everything about this is insane because it doesn't bother to make any sense. Like, it never bothers to really explain how he became superhuman in the first place. He's just superhuman. Like the, and then they put it in the prison, and sure, okay, I guess it ripped off Green Arrow Max a little, but
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 25 years before
exactly.
Green
exactly.
Arrow Max existed.
In I know. Gutsy of them, huh? But no, I mean, I got a good, strong, let's go with 9.
Wow. All right. I think all the stuff that you guys said, 5. All right, that brings us to the end of scoring. And this film has a quite respectable 71.5 out of 100, which is tied with both Star Crash and Ninja the Violent Sorcerer.
It's a very interesting movie. There's no question about it. I mean, it's chock full, but I do think that it is hurt by the fact that the story is really not like
there.
It's not there. It's not fulfilled in any way. Like they keep trying to introduce parts of story, but then they just forget about it and move on from there.
It's a good Boogaloo movie, but it's not being put in my regular rotation.
All right. Well, you know, no accounting for taste.
harsh criticism.
All right, James. Why don't we do some business?
All right. If you have not done so already, please subscribe to the show on YouTube and and whatever podcast app you choose to use. They're all equally good. Also, we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and we are sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com, which is the home of the Octagon, where you can keep track of all of these movies. And we've got something like 90 of them on there now. You can, and if you go there and this is equally Boogaloo to Star Crash, you can just click on that, takes you right to the episode of Star Crash. Perfect system. Also, they are on We Talk Podcasts on Twitter and on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, the world, not the world of tomorrow. I keep getting that confused. It's Days of Future Past. Season 13 is in the home stretch, and we are carrying on next episode with Equalizer 2000. So who knows what the hell that one's going to be like, but I doubt it'll be.
I hear it's about a sex robot.
Sex robot. Yes. that needs to take matters in its own hands.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the difference.
It's the opposite of Cherry 2000.
We have with the year in the title. So there was there was Cherry 2000.
It's 3.
And then there's the Texas Gladiators 2020 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but 2 in the actual year 2000. The year 2000, we had such high expectations.
Oh, come on. I mean, that's everybody expects that, right?
Everyone was like, by the year 21st century, man, can you imagine we'll be, everybody will be able to fly by themselves and, transport, it'll be like Star Trek,
we don't have any of those movies, though. No movie that takes place in 2000 involves people being able to fly on their own. It involves the world being held.
six movies in, and the one thing that you can say about this season is, as far as trying to present a future, a very futuristic world, and a lot of special effects, they are doing their best to avoid having to go in that direction.
Yes. All right.
Equalizer 2000 is the name of a sex droid. Does it look like Edward Woodward?
Great. Jack is going out to buy that one. Get an add-on for his fleshlight, the Edward Woodward. All right, let's get out of this before we go too far.
Boogaloo tie-in, the Equalizer TV show. First episode, the Equalizer's son is played by William Kafka. Of course, Karate Kid is Johnny, and more importantly to us from Pit Fighter or whatever the movie was that we did the season 1.
Shoot Fighter. That's it.
Yeah, sir, Shoot Fighter.
Nice.
Blue time.
All right. Well,
6 degrees.
Let's do it. So, for Jim, and for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
The strength of 20 men. He was sent to a correctional facility where the laws of survival take precedence over the laws of man. Only the strongest will come out alive. The story of Ricky.